Writing to the Corinthians, we find Apostle Paul saying, "Dear Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, and our hearts are wide open. And there are no limits to the affection that we feel for you, and you are the ones who place boundaries on your affections for us. I'm talking to you like you are children. Open your hearts wide and expansively." You know, a few years ago, I was serving in another congregation, and we decided to take our youth and children's department to a lake that was nearby. There was a lake that was close to the church, and there were all kinds of opportunities for the kids to play. There was fishing, there was a little boating, and other things like that. And this one son, small child, accompanied his dad, and they came and had a great time that day. But I noticed throughout the day that not long after we had gotten there, that the little boy became quite curious about the world about him, and he began to ask his dad all kinds of questions. For instance, he said, "Dad, how is it that these boats out here float?" And Dad thought for a moment, and he said, "I don't rightly know, son." And a little bit later, he said, "Dad, how do these fish swim?" "I don't rightly know, son." And then he said, "Dad, how do these fish, they dive down, and how do they breathe underwater?" "I don't rightly know, son." "Dad, why is the sky so blue today?" And it was a beautiful day. And the father thought for a moment, and he said, "I really don't know, son." And at the end of the day, when we were wrapping up and preparing to leave and go home, I could hear the little boy say something like this to his dad: "Dad, do you mind me asking you all these questions?" And of course, Dad said, "Of course not, son. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything." You know, human, mind has limits, I suppose. But life is filled with those kinds of borders and boundaries, those kinds of limitations that we place on ourselves all the time. In fact, throughout life, there are all kinds of limits. There's speed limits and credit card limits and energy limits and, you know, food limits and financial limits and so forth. However, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we serve a God who is limitless. And I'm still finding those words of the angel ringing in my ear from Advent when Mary was just told that she was going to bear a child and wondered why and how this could be done. And the angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God." And so as we move into this year, I want to encourage you to tap into the limitless God that we serve, the expansive resources that are afforded to us as disciples, and lead that kind of limitless life in Christ. And we're starting this new sermon series, and today on my mind, as I have been searching and praying, is this incredible attribute of the love of God. How often we speak about the amazing grace of God, but specifically today, I want to draw your attention to this aspect that is uttered throughout the Bible about the incredible love that God has for us. And in fact, as the writer of Epistle of 1 John says, God simply is love. I saw a bumper sticker here not long ago that said, if love was oil, I'd be a quart low. Maybe you feel like you are a quart low today. Maybe you feel like you've been beat up by the world. Maybe you feel like you're not as loved or liked in the world. But today I want to encourage you with this scripture text before us and remind you about God's love for us. And you know today that the love of God is beyond description. There are no words adequate enough to describe God's love for you and I. And although books have been written and songs have been sung about the love of God, it is absolutely impossible to describe accurately and adequately its greatness and its magnitude. And probably the song that we used to sing there years ago, that hymn that we used to have in our hymnal, The Love of God, comes as close to kind of humanly possible describing God's love. And that one stanza comes to mind as the composer pieced those words together. Could we think the ocean full, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll of God above, though stretched from sky to sky, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angel song. And you know, I suppose that the greatest element about God's love is that it has no limits and it knows no boundaries. It has no favorites and it has no pets, but that God loves us all equally. Yesterday, as I said, we went over to the Chesterwood retirement village there and had a wonderful time in the morning. And it kind of reminded me of another situation where I went, and I was at such a facility here some time back. And there was a little girl that was there. And one of the residents found out that the little girl had two brothers. And just in making conversation, the lady asked the girl, said, well, who is it that mom and dad loves the most? And the little girl in her toddler voice said, well, mom and dad love Jimmy the most because he's the oldest, and love Johnny the most because he's the youngest, but love me the most because I'm the only girl. And I think she was touching on the reality of that love that mom and dad have for each of their children, that they find a way to love each of their children in their own unique and individual way. While some have certain qualities that the other doesn't have, and yet they love them each fully for their own individuality. And that's the way God's love is for us today. That God loves us for who we are and not for what we are or what we can do for him or what we can accomplish or achieve, but he loves us in his precious sight. We are special. And truly the love of God is a subject that we could never fully cover in a sermon series, or that we could even fully plumb in a time of studies. But just for a few moments today, I want us to think about this immense and magnificent love that God has for us. And I want to approach this for just a second from the negative side, if you will, of the love of God. For instance, I want to remind you today that God's love is never going to let you down. You know, there's at least three things that we could say that God has never seen. And one is a person that God doesn't love, because we're all special in the eyes of God and God loves everyone. Another is a situation that God can't help, because we certainly know that as the angel proclaimed and as we see throughout the New Testament, that all things are possible with God. And a third might be a substitute for God's Son, because God, in his infinite wisdom, saw fit to enter into this world God's very own Son that might be the Redeemer for the world. God, in his perfect wisdom, brought Jesus here. And, you know, too much of anything is really dangerous, they often tell us, all except for God's love. For God's love will never, ever let us down. And God carries your picture, I'm sure of it, in his wallet. I'm sure, just like many of you, you have a wall at home where you have a lot of pictures, maybe of your family. And I've been to some of the homes here, and people very lovingly and affectionately, their family members, they've got it, their picture of their children or their parents or other family members there on the refrigerator, or in a photo album that's there on the coffee table. And I'm sure that God in some way has you write in his very thought all the time. And I'm glad it doesn't depend on whether things are going good or where things are going bad, whether things are going our way or things are going against us. The great truth is that God, his love, will never let us down. And God is love, and it's one of those most tremendous utterances that we find given in the Bible. And you know, in my life, I've discovered, maybe like you too, that anything in this world can really let you down. Anything outside of God can let you down and fail you. But we can be grateful today that God's love will never let us down. And I'm probably testifying on behalf of many of you here today that have also found that to be true in your personal walk of faith, that God's love and grace is sufficient even through those difficult places in life, through the adversity that we face, and through the hard places that we encounter. And God's promises are always greater than our needs. And his love is sufficient, and it will never run down and let us out of his arms. God is always loving us and searching for us and wooing us and inviting us into a relationship with him. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, the writer there said, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." God's love prevails even when we as human beings stumble and bumble, and when we make mistakes, and when we do miserable failures, God still loves us just like you love your own children. I'm glad for that today, for who of us here could say that I've never made a mistake? Who of us here today could say, I am perfect in my walk of faith, and I've never done anything to disappoint anybody? And I'm glad that God still loves us, even when there's those errors and there's those things that we do. And really, none of us here can say that we are completely without error and mistake-free. And sometimes we are prone to think that maybe that God couldn't possibly love us because we have made such a mistake out of many things in our life. But in fact, we're tempted maybe even to say that God doesn't only not love us, but he doesn't even like us. But you know, I find as we examine the New Testament that there's a difference between acceptance and approval, and that is seen in the walk of Jesus throughout his life. God was always hard on sin, but easy on the sinner. And sometimes when we blunder and stumble, we're tempted to think that maybe God doesn't love us, but it's in those moments that God picks us up and wraps us in his arms and reminds us of his precious love toward us. I remember when I was a kid that we had a small wading pool out on the deck in our back of our house. And one day, myself and my brother, and we had some other kids in the family that came over, and it was a very hot day, and they filled that pool and let us play. Just as little tiny kids out there. And Dad said, "Now, I want you kids to be careful because I've just poured some concrete down below, and I don't want you to splash all this water out of this pool and knock all your toys off the deck and onto this concrete." And we all acknowledged, "Dad, well, you know, Uncle Ron, we'll be careful. We'll watch what we're doing." And, you know, we got excited after he left and went into the house, and we started to play. And I can remember one of the bigger kids hitting that pool wide open and all the water, you know, pouring over the side of the deck and all the toys that we have going onto the freshly poured concrete. And it wasn't long after that Dad came out and he said, "You kids, I told you, you kids, you promised you would be careful." And one of the kids spoke up and said, "Uncle Ron doesn't love us anymore." And he stopped and he knelt down and he said, "You know, I do love you, and it's all right. We can re-pour the concrete. We'll figure it out, but I still love you." And you know, I think that's the way it is with God's love in us, that even though he might be disappointed, he still loves us regardless of the errors and the problems and the things, even in spite of all of our infirmities and weaknesses. God's love prevails. Not only that, but let me say to you that God's love will never let us lose hope. God's love will never allow life to become boring and meaningless. There's a difference, I find, also between lust and love, where lust takes, love gives, and many find the things of this world that they are not satisfactory. And there I'm pondering those words of that great writer back in the Old Testament there in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writings of King Solomon, who was by God's own word the wisest man who ever lived. And he writes there about all the things that he searched for and all the things he had at his disposal, every possible thing that he could think of that was afforded to him in his life, and he discovered they were not fulfilling at all. And here's a person who literally had it all, but he found there was still an emptiness, and there was still a void and a hunger that could not be quenched. And he was the same man who said, "Happy is he whose God is Jehovah," and couldn't find wealth and in this world that they found in him. And you know what? The love of God is so immense and pure, it will never grow vapid or stale. And Solomon said, "I couldn't find in this world what I have found in God." And you know, in some measure, I think that for a lot of people today, that somehow they become bored with life. Life in some way has lost its romance for a lot of people as they have wrapped themselves up in possessions and so many other things of this world. You know, they say today one of the top killers within our youth population is suicide. And I have to say, when I was a young person, I never thought of such a thing. But I know our kids are under such incredible pressure today. And there's tension today. And like never before, I'm hearing from schools that they have their own panic rooms as our kids are having such problems with anxiety and panic. And certainly these are challenging times. But I'm glad today to tell you that when God's love dwells within our heart, as the writer says, it will give us purity that will cast out fear. And our experience with God can be so comforting. It can be almost like an anchor and a source of stability to see us through and give us real purpose and meaning for life. But there's something else that bears mentioning here today is we're talking about a perfect God. A God who loves us. And a God who is perfect in all of his ways also means it is a God who is perfect in his justice. And so I would say to you that God loves us so much that he will never let us off the hook either. He loves us so much that he will let us make our own decisions. And God loves us and wants all of us to make that commitment. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is long-suffering and is patient toward us, and is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, at the same time, no unconfessed sin or unforgiving spirit is ever going to be excused in that day of judgment. And I know many times people say, well, you know, God is too caring, too loving, too forgiving to send anybody to hell. And I say, that's absolutely right. God is not going to send anybody to hell because we send ourselves. If we turn our back upon God and decide not to serve God. And in spite of God's love toward us, we can refuse to make a decision to follow Christ and accept God. And yes, he loves us more than we could ever imagine, but his love is also equally matched by his perfect justice, for he always does the right thing. And we need to make preparation now while the time is afforded to us to know God as our Savior. I'll never forget the story that I heard years ago about the two boys that grew up in the same neighborhood on the same block, and they did everything together. They grew up and went to the same school. They were on the same ball teams. They were in the same scout group, and they did everything together that boys would do at that age. They fished together and hiked together and played together. But as they grew older, they reached a crossroads in life, and one of the kids grew up and went to college and became a lawyer and eventually became a judge. And the other dropped out of school. Started to get into mischief and soon became a hardened criminal. And finally one day was brought into the courtroom and found guilty, and there standing before the judge, he felt relaxed. And he said, well, this is my friend. This is the person that we've laughed together and played together. And when the sentence came that you have been found guilty and you are sentenced to die, he leaped up from his table and he said, well, Judge, we were the best of friends. We've laughed together. We played together. We went to school and scouts and did all this together. And of course, in the end, the judge said, yes, but I'm no longer your friend. Now, I'm your judge. And the Bible clearly speaks to us about the perfect justice and the perfect love of God. God loves us, but also equally, God will never let us off the hook. God's love is never measured by our comfort, but always in His perfect harmony and perfect love. I hope today that as you ponder God's love for your life, you'll be reminded that God's love is like the Amazon River, really flowing down to water, even if you're the only lily in the field, the only daisy on the hill. But you will receive God into your heart and life and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Shall we pray together? God, we thank You today for Your incredible love and grace toward us. How perfect. How magnificent. How wonderful it is, even that when we are yet sinners, You died for us, as Your word said. And how challenging it is for us to really wrap our minds around that. But how grateful we are that even when we make mistakes, that You stand ready to forgive us. And we pray for those today that need that forgiveness in their heart and life, and that they would choose to come before You and receive Your grace and mercy. And we pray for those today, O God, who would rather go a different way and not accept You and not live for You. And we pray also, God, for Your Spirit to continue to woo and to continue to draw them to You. May You, O God, work in a wonderful way in the hearts of Your people, that we might be those disciples that live in that limitless, that expansive resource of Your love, sharing it with others today. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.